speaking about letters, I want to take time out to thank many of you from all over the state that have written me and encouraged me. You know, a lot of times in my career, I didn't have a whole lot of encouragement. I had to gain all my strength from Christ. And this morning, I stand before you nothing. I am nothing. I will always be nothing. The difference is I've got a great God. You know, and I walk out on the field and walk in places like the Cotton Bowl in Dallas when there's orange and white and orange and red. And I look out there and people are watching you, and you walk down that ramp and it's an electrifying feeling. The crowd may be loud and you raise your hands to quiet the crowd, and I think of, you know, if I could say anything to that crowd, do you know Jesus? Do you have a commitment with Him? But I can't say that in the Cotton Bowl. But I have to do it places like Salisaw, University of Oklahoma campus. And the same way with your life. And I've gained my strength and my encouragement from many of you, and I thank you very much. You know, a lot of times I can remember when my athletic ability didn't look like there was going to be much of it. I wasn't ever going to get to show it what I had. But you know, it's kind of funny what you do when you walk out and say, God, I don't know what I am. But you know, you take control of things. You give me the desire to work. I don't believe God will take a pass and He'll let you throw it so far and it'll go fall complete for a touchdown. I don't believe He works like that. But I really believe He'll bless my work. And if I work, He gives me the desire. I think it'll pay off. You know, this morning, I want you to turn to John 11. Start at verse 25. We're going to read several verses of Scripture. I want you to listen very closely. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, The teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she arose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone, Martha. The sister of the dead man said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on the account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, Unbind him and let him go. You know, this morning, in that short story, it relates to every one of us. In this story, you'll find the personality that you are this morning. You are one of these personalities. Can you look at the instance? Here's Lazarus. Fine young man, fine gentleman. I imagine if there were a law firm or some business today, there'd probably be many of them that'd want to give him a job. Well respected, managed his life well. But you know, there was one problem with Lazarus. He was dead. He was dead. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but I don't think he'd get hired, would he? I don't think he'd be hired this morning. Here's a picture of a dead life. A completely dead life. And if I can be very elementary with you this morning, and very quick,
Some of you this morning are dead. Some of you are dead. Oh, you felt a little spark of life, but for the most part, you're dead. You know, I asked my mother, and my mother's really helpful in areas like this. I asked her, "Mother, how will I know I'm dead?" First thing she said, "Well, you'll probably quit eating." And I imagine that's truth. I imagine I will lose my appetite. I'll know I'm dead when I lose my appetite. That's one way. Another way, I'll probably lose my awareness. I'll probably lose my awareness when I die. My appetite, my awareness. Response. I'll probably lose my response. And I'll lose my activity. Those are some things that I know that I'm going to be, when I'm dead, those things won't exist. They won't exist for certain. They won't exist. But this morning, there are some of you in your spiritual lives are the same way. You are dead. You have never had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You've listened here, you've been here in this Youth Evangelism Conference, and you've heard the central theme, and it's been Jesus Christ, Lord of your life. You've heard that drilled into your heads, preached to you. And you have to make a decision. But there's some of you still that can turn it away. And I believe, you know, I can walk through the halls of the Washington House Athletic Dormitory, the University of Oklahoma, and I know there are guys that have said no. You know what it's like trying to have a ministry with a bunch of athletes? Now take into consideration, many of these guys were high school All-Americans. They could date any girl they wanted. You know, it's the old thing, "Hey man, I can play football and date pretty girls too." You know, something like that. And they can't. And then you come, you know, the first thing you've got to have is a need. And you go to them, "You know what you need is Jesus." That's not going to cut it. Because right now they don't see the need. That's what it's like. And some of you this morning are just as spiritually dead as you can be. First of all, you don't have an appetite for spiritual things. The Bible probably bores many of you. If you're spiritually dead, the Bible will bore you. Your awareness, you don't have any real awareness. You're not aware of things, spiritual things that are happening around you, people's lives being changed. You don't experience that. And your response, Jesus will begin to talk to your life. And you'll not respond. You can say no easily. And you're spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. And I wonder if there's any like that this morning that are spiritually dead. You've heard Jesus Christ preach, but still yet you're turning Him down and saying, "I really don't want to get involved with that." You know, it's not so much that you don't understand Jesus Christ and what He's about. It's a problem that you understand Him too well. You understand that, man, He desires that you live with Him. You walk daily with Him. You pick up your cross daily and follow Me. Cross isn't a toothpick, folks. It's not a toothpick. It's not something you can put in your pocket. It's a life. It's something that's going to demand every moment of your life. That's what it's all about. And there's somebody who's spiritually dead this morning. That was the condition of Lazarus. He was spiritually, at this time, he was dead. He was dead, physically dead. He was out of it. But you know, there's something else that happened. Jesus made an appeal to a dead man. He made an appeal to a dead man. And you know, it hadn't changed a bit. He's still making appeals to dead men. He's saying, "Come forth!" And that's what He did to Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth. And now we have Lazarus coming forth. What's the Bible say? He's got his hands wrapped, his feet wrapped, he's bound. And he walks forward to the defeated life. And I wonder, if you're not dead this morning, maybe you've had an experience with Jesus Christ. The majority of you have had an experience with Jesus Christ of some sort. Sometime when you have said, acknowledge the need for Christ, realize that you had wrong in your life, forsake it, leave it behind, and accepted a man called Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The majority of you have done that this morning. You've already done that. But then there are some personalities that are probably defeated. A defeated personality. Here comes Lazarus. Can you imagine? Looks kind of silly. But sitting where you are, there might be the same personality. Your hands are bound. You can't work. You can't do God's work. All you got around your mouth, too, you can't talk, you can't witness. Around your feet, you can't walk. Some of your lives are like that. I know, because my life's been like that. My life has been like that. I know what failure is. And you know, there could be a lot of reasons, but I imagine because this is a youth evangelistic conference, I can probably corner a few areas that maybe are causing you to be defeated. How's it at home? What's it like eating at your table? With mom and dad. I know what it's like at my training table. I remember a time my dad wasn't a Christian. Dad was a moral man, the Bible terms. A good moral man. You know, you ask him, somebody move into town and you say, well, are there good prospects for a church? Well, yeah, there are good prospects for a church. Good people, good people. Well, they're Christians. No, but they're good people. Good people. That's not going to cut it. How about it? What's it like? Is mom and dad an authority of your life? Are they in control? Are you in submission to your mom and dad? I've heard it explained before that we're just like a diamond in the rough. And mother and dad are just like a driving stake and a hammer beating off the rough edges of your life. And your mom and dad, they've got the ability to see what's going on and you don't. But you know what? We take the tools in our own hands and this is what we look like. Looks kind of stupid, but you know, it's a lot of truth. We're liable to knock off some, because we take mom and dad's tools into our own hands, we're liable to knock off some pieces that are too big. Or knock off some areas maybe we don't knock off enough. Mom and dad. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. You can't tell me, Old or New Testament, it doesn't say honor and obey your parents. That's it. So we can't give the excuse, well, mom and dad aren't Christians. It says honor and obey. It doesn't say Christian parents. It says honor and obey your parents. They're what God intended for you, folks. That's exactly what God wanted. Or about your dating. Maybe your dating has caused you to be defeated. Of anything that can leave a scar on your life, if your dating's not right, watch out. It can wreck you for life, I promise you. It can wreck you for life. Fellas, on your dates. And this is coming, we're taking this out of the church now. We're out on Saturday night on your date. We're at a movie. We're going up and down the main. That's where we're at now. Now, what's it like? Are you the spiritual leader? Is that girl a spiritual challenge? Man, can you take her home, guys, and can you know that God has honored your time? Have you ever thought of the situation? You know, some of you girls maybe this morning thinking, man, I won't ever get married. I promise you, if it's to happen, God's not going to let you miss it. Have you ever thought about Adam? Have you ever thought about Adam? Look at Adam. Here he is. Here's Adam, the Garden of Eden, in perfect fellowship with God, walking around. God comes, Adam. Yeah? You know what you're missing?
No.
A woman. What's that? Adam had no idea what a woman was. Maybe it's not so bad at all. But he had no idea what a woman was. Had no idea. He had no idea. And God said, Adam, I want a helper that's fit for you. A helper that's fit for you. But you got to do one thing. Will you fall asleep in my will? Will you fall asleep? And guys and girls, if you want God's mate, God's first choice, then do what Adam did. Literally, fall asleep in the will of God. Fall asleep in the will of God. And the Bible says that God brought to the man the woman. And I believe in every instance, in every principle, that Adam was pleased. That he was pleased. Is your dating causing you to be defeated? Or you're bound? You can't walk? You can't talk? Is your dating life wrecking your life? You know, it's not so much what you say in the Washington House down there at Norman. It's not what you say so much. It's how you live. And I tell you what, one way people look at your dating life. So watch out. Maybe it's our mouth that's causing us to be defeated Christians. Maybe it's our mouth that's causing us to be defeated. I've often heard that the number one reason that causes the, you know, God's message not to get proclaimed, not to get accomplished with its method, to get across. Three things. Whisperings, whisperings, whisperings. Isn't that a tragedy? Young people, if you'll apply this one little phrase with your life, when you're talking with someone else about somebody else, apply this to your life and say, the absent will always be safe with me. They will always be safe with me. Don't let your mouth get you in trouble, because it'll get back to you. First of all, you know, when you shoot off in your mouth, you cause somebody to go into isolation. They're shocked. You said something about them. They become bitter. And then to anyone that gets around them, to anybody that gets around them, it's just like poison. It's just like poison. It spreads. And so you ask, why am I defeated? I want to do the right thing, and I believe every one of you here this morning want to do the right thing for God. But I'm defeated. Check your mouth. How about time? Have you told God what you're going to do? Saying, God, where would you be today without me? Where would you be? And begin to plan out your life in every area. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Tell mom and dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You have just shut off God's ability to work in your life. Because you've got the thing in control. You're on the throne of your life. The big I, it's me. God can't use your life. I wanted to leave the University of Oklahoma after last Thanksgiving. They were, you know, as fat as I was, they're going to make me a guard. Might have been smart if I would have left. But the deal is, I kept thinking, I want to leave. But a long time ago, I made a commitment that I was going to go to the University of Oklahoma and play football. And I knew then that it was God's will. And the deal is, I couldn't leave because I'd made that commitment. I'd made that commitment. Are these things keeping you defeated? Are you defeated? Oh, this morning I hope that, you know, you're experiencing the joy and the abundance. But you know, the story doesn't end there. Look at John 12. John 12, verse 9. It said, unbind him and let him go, and in John 11. And now look what happened. When the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priest planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on the account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. And he had been unbound and let go. And that's what, you know, the idea about the Christian life. Once you get involved, once you start letting God use you, you know, it's not so matter all of us are saying this morning, God, use me, use me, use me. The deal is, folks, you get ready and God will wear you out. He'll wear you out. I know He will. So the idea is, here it is. He wasn't dead any longer. Lazarus was not dead. He was not defeated. There's a new word in the vocabulary now. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. I feel sorry for Lazarus. I mean, he just got, you know, raised from the dead, and now they're trying to kill him again. Now, that's depressing. But why? It's because many were turning and believing in Jesus. Many were turning and believing in Jesus. Now, is your life like that? Is your life like that? It says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. I've decided that the Christian life is not for sissies. There is nothing sissy about the Christian life. You think it's a big situation. Some of you would probably like to say, boy, I'd like to be a quarterback. I'd like to play in a big game like Texas or like Nebraska. I'd like to play in a game like that. You think the pressure's great. You think that my heart kind of throbs once I come out on the field and I look at those five technique tackles. You think I get a little scary? That's not half as scary as realizing that daily Jesus Christ and I have something going. That I'm under pressure. Because, you know, when I walked down the field at Baylor, I was a scared kid. I was scared to death. Not because of the Baptist, because of the football game. I was scared. I'd done all this work and preparing and all this praying and different things to try to get me ready to play a game. A big game. As far as I was concerned, it was my biggest game. In the afternoon before that ball game, I said, "Father, I'm scared to death." And I began to think of all the scriptures that talk about Jesus talking to the multitudes, performing in front of the multitudes. And I said, "You've been here before. You've been here before. I don't have to worry. You've been here." And so I said, "Lord, if you'll do one thing, you take the pressure and I'll play the football." He took the pressure and I tried to play the football. And it works. I'm telling you, it's real. It is a real thing. And that's the way the year started for me. But you know, this morning, I don't want to be a dead person. I don't think any of you want to be dead. I don't want to be defeated. Because the man that I'm trying to carry the cross for, he's not a defeated person. He is far from defeated. He will never be defeated. I'm playing for a winner. I'm playing for a real winner. Now, we may lose at Oklahoma. Maybe. But I know one thing. I will never lose with Christ. I will never lose. Now, let me challenge you. Are you dangerous? Are you dangerous this morning? Are you a dangerous person? I hope you are. I hope every one of you are dangerous. Now, there are some ways that I think I could, you know, tell you that I think could help you to be dangerous. It's more than going to church on Sunday. It's more than going on prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It's more than that. It's more than being in a choir. There's something of a daily discipline involved. Now, what I do in my personal life, first of all, I read my Bible daily. Started a long time ago having a daily quiet time. Doesn't sound like much, but boy, I tell you, start. Get something daily, consistent. Satan would love, he would love to see you start it and then be able to get on top of your back and say, "You don't want to do it anymore, do you?" He would love to see that. And this morning, if you don't have anything daily going, start. Just open somewhere in the New Testament. John, start at John. Read 5 minutes a day. Write down your thoughts. This is a Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I've got a Steve Davis version of the Bible. It's not for sale, but it's my version. It's how God relates to me personally. And then begin to put something, have some methods down where you won't be so embarrassed. Look at Peter when he was warming by the world's fire. Had a chance to witness. Boy, he barked. Then he just blew it. He blew it. He really blew it. He had a chance. There was. The opportunity was given. He ran for the opportunity. And see, that's what we do a lot of times. God gives us the opportunity, and then we don't recognize it. Or we recognize it, and we abuse it. This morning, do you have a real plan, a real method that you can share Christ? I know that for every one of you, there's one sermon here this morning. That's your testimony. You know, that'd be helpful. You can use that. Somebody says, "Well, I don't know what to say when a witness." Use your testimony. Use your own life. That'll relate to somebody more than anything else you've got. It sure will. But use it. Utilize it. Begin to memorize Scripture. Put them on little verse cards. Didn't seem like a whole lot either. But you begin to develop some new boldness in your ability to go out and speak to somebody and share Christ. It helps. Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. A difference. Man, can they see that difference in your life? Can they see it? Your prayer life will develop too. You know, my prayer life is more than, "Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be Oklahoma's quarterback of the Wishbone Tee." It's more than that. I can remember times when I'd say, "God bless everybody and everybody and everybody." Next morning, I'd say, "Amen." There's more. There's got to be more in your prayer life. A daily prayer schedule. People that God will bring into your life that you've got to search out and see what you can complement their life with. What spiritual advice or help that you can be to them or encouragement. But the question is this morning, what person are you? Dead? Defeated? Or are you a walking example of being dangerous. You know, I really believe with that word dangerous goes the word dynamic. I don't want to be a good Christian. I don't want to be a good one. I want to be a dynamic one. You know, the problem today, it's not with the lost, it's with the saved. So many of us are defeated. I've been there, and I didn't enjoy my stay at all. Neither did God. Oh, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being here, and I want to praise God that when I was 10 years old, He saved me.